Welcome to another edition of Sports Hook here on Care Radio on a Thursday afternoon. Great to have you along today. Sports Hook, as always, presented by our sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, here we go. It's basketball season, and the hoops schedule here on Care Radio kind of dialing up, ramping up a little bit is Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to be in Effingham as Donovan West will travel to ACCHS. Saturday, the Ravens are off. It is finals week, so no Benedictine basketball Saturday, but they'll be right back next week. Tuesday, we will have Ottawa at Atchison and Atchison High School. And Wednesday, Benedictine hosting Missouri Valley as the Ravens get back to play after finals week. So all that said and done, lots of stuff going on around the area, and we've already seen a whole raft of high school basketball.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? I mean, feels like you just got done with football a few weeks ago, and now it's already time for high school basketball. And the other night, there were a handful of good games as, you found your way down to Tonganoxie. It wasn't the Tonganoxie tournament, but it was early season basketball, the Phoenix versus the Chieftains.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Tonganoxie, I always enjoyed going to their gym because for, 40 years they've had the Tonganoxie tournament down there on tournament week and invite a lot of teams from the area, been down there over the years, and a great facility, which is now an even more spectacular facility because, talking to the superintendent, the folks at Tonganoxie, all right, they passed a $53 million bond, okay? Built a new gymnasium. They've done so many things to that school and around the district. It is spectacular. That building is top rung. And it was a great venue to go watch a couple of good ball games the other night.
Good to have that giant racetrack right there, isn't it?
Generating a little extra revenue.
It does help.
Couldn't hurt.
Tonganoxie, great facilities. But the Phoenix were able to go down there and play pretty well.
Yeah, take two. The ladies getting out in front in their game and played well. Guys coming out in their game and, you know, got to see everybody get some playing time as a Coach Battle was able to get them all in the fourth quarter. And Atchison in two games, guys, as we've seen them both here on Care Radio, and the Phoenix have been just absolutely dominating in their first two games. And it'll be interesting to see how they match up with Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, and so for Atchison, it's kind of weird because you get to see some of these, you know, teams that we're familiar with, but you don't see all the time, you know, in Ottawa, Tonganoxie. Then next week they get back into league play, and I think you're going to go to Topeka maybe next Friday night and see Atchison take on Highland Park. So, again, filling up, and especially for the Phoenix, filling up that non-con because, again, you play in a smaller conference.
Couple of games going on around the area tonight. You've got Atchison at Eudora tonight. Kind of an unusual, again, Atchison getting some of these non-con games in on some atypical, you know, high school ball game at night. So you've got Atchison going down to Eudora this evening. The girls at 6 and the guys, you know, 7:30-ish, something like that. Perry LeCompton is playing tonight. They're going to go to Fort Scott. You've got, some of the teams getting some games in. And then, of course, there's going to be a huge full slate coming up, boys and girls basketball on Friday. But by the way, Thursday night is traditionally wrestling night. I was talking to some great wrestling fans from around the county yesterday, and I was asking them, are you underway? And they go, oh, yeah. And if you look here right now, you've got the Atchison Invitational tonight. Already, the Atchison Wrestling Invite. So they're going to have teams coming into town, like Royal Valley is going to be one of them coming in. You've got Sabetha's got an invitational going on tonight. You've got Santa Fe Trail going to Holton tonight. And Gus, you talk about wrestling teams. How about this? ACCHS is traveling just a little bit west. They're going to Hoxie.
Yeah, and if you're a wrestling fan, you like to see that, right? I mean, two of the upper tier wrestling programs in 3-2-1A.
And two of the premier teams in the state.
Yeah.
Any division.
You get to see them match up as, ACCHS is going to be out at Hoxie. Pretty full slate of basketball games going on tomorrow night. You talk about Perry at Wellsville. You're going to have Holton at Nemaha. Jump down to Jefferson County North will be at Horton. Pleasant Ridge will be at Jackson Heights. And MHMA is going to be down at Oskaloosa. And Oskaloosa playing really good basketball right now.
Oh, yeah. Talking to some of the Oskaloosa coaching staff, they've got, you know, they've got some new people in place, and they are very, very excited about what the Bears are going to be bringing to the NEKL this season. So it'll be interesting games as MHMA goes to Oskaloosa. This is not your, this is not like that. Remember the old ads, it's not your grandpa's Oldsmobile. Well, this is not your grandpa's Oskaloosa. This is a revamped team that is much, much improved.
Speaking of new things that are improved, maybe not improved, it's more of a judgment call. Sub-state assignments are out for basketball.
Already?
Yep.
Didn't see that.
So, jump into class just because we'd like to know, you know, where's my team going to be for sub-state and who are the teams I'm going to be looking at around my sub-state? Well, if you start in class 2A, it's going to be at Winchester, so JCN hosting the 2A sub-state. That will include Moore Hill Mount Academy, Pleasant Ridge, Horton, McClouth, Oskaloosa, Caraparavel, Valley Falls, Riverside, and JCN, the host school there. So that's quite an interesting mix of teams, for sure.
So those are the eight that are going to be in that sub-state.
So if you're an ACCHS fan, you say, what about the Tigers? The Tigers are a Class 3A team. They will be at Royal Valley, so a little trip out 75. Going to be at the Royal Valley sub-state. It'll be ACCHS, Hiawatha, Royal Valley, Bishop Ward, Jeff West, Perry LeCompton, Sabetha, Hayden will be the teams in that Class 3A sub-state. And if you're trying to figure out where Nemaha Central is, because typically Nemaha Central and Sabetha are together, Nemaha Central is going to be out at the Riley County sub-state with teams like Silver Lake, St. Mary's, Riley County, Rossville, Beloit.
Okay.
So
now I got another one because this is right up your alley. You're going to Donovan West, the team that we're going to be seeing here on K-Radio Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
They're hosting a 1A sub-state. Bet you didn't know that. How about that? And they're going to have teams with whom you are intimately familiar, like Northern Heights and Burlingame, Centralia, Bishop Seabury, Onega, and Troy up there with the host team, Donovan West.
I've heard of Northern Heights. Couldn't tell you anything about it. Burlingame, no clue. Centralia, again, I'm not really sure. I've heard of Centralia. I've been there once. Couldn't get you there. Bishop Seabury, I mean, that's a team who we typically run across in that McLeod tournament at some point. And then, of course, Onega.
Onega, of course, because I know you love the Buffaloes.
Everybody loves the Buffaloes. And then, of course, Troy. So. Yeah, there you go.
It's hard to believe that basketball season underway, sub-states are already being talked about. And you know some of these coaches are looking up and down here already thinking, well, let's see, how does this shake out? Who am I going to like here, you know?
You talk about state rankings. Came out earlier this week, and just kind of flying through the state rankings real quick. Girls number one in 6A is Blue Valley North. 5A number one is Andover, head coached by Hannah Blackburn Alexander.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bishop Miege is number one in girls in Class 4A. Tonganoxie, the team you saw the other day,
yeah,
they're the number seven girls team in the state of Kansas in Class 4A. So, Class 3A, Silver Lake is one. Nemaha Central is four. Rossville is the number seven team in Class 4A, or 3A, excuse me, on the girls' side. Class 2A girls, number two in the state. Well, number one is Colgan. Number two is Riverside. So flying through some more of these, seeing if anybody else we need to jump through. Class 6A on the boys' side, Wichita Heights is one. Mays South is one in Class 5A on the boys. Number two is Capen. Number three, Highland Park.
There you go.
So the Highland Park boys are number three in Class 5A. Jump down to Class 4A where you see McPherson 1, Hugoton 2, Atchison 3, Miege 4.
Eudora 5. Don't confuse those two. Don't get those two mixed up.
A little bit. Yeah, Eudora 5. So, yeah.
Wow. So you're talking about a 3-5.
Number three in, 3-5 tonight. And then next week, Atchison, the number three team in 4A, takes on the number three team in 5A. So kind of crazy there. 3A boys, number one team is Collegiate. Flying through there. Hayden is 10. I'd say Hayden because they're going to be in that same sub-state as ACCHS. Class 2A boys, you've got Sterling, the Black Bears, number one. Sterling is always good at basketball. Is that misconception there?
No, that's fair to say.
Nobody else in Class 2A. In Class 1A, you've got South Gray is the number one team in Class 1A. So, there you go.
Hey, lots of hoops. Get your MSCSports.net schedule out. Get to the games. Support your team. We're going to be at basketball a whole lot here on Care Radio. That said, we've got lots of things to talk about. Sports Look will continue right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on a Thursday night at Care Radio. Gus Benedictine basketball. You're kind of taking a forefront. And for the Ravens, had a little trip, kind of an unusual trip, okay? We had to go to Des Moines on a Tuesday, typically a high school night, but because Wednesday at the college is yesterday, is a study day because today finals have begun for the first semester. So Ravens requested and Granby said, yeah, okay, we'll play a Tuesday night, but they're probably wishing they hadn't.
Is that what we were supposed to do on that Wednesday before finals?
That's, I asked the people the same thing because I thought it was a night and a day.
I was going to say, maybe they just didn't clear that up when I was...
You could watch Munsters and you could watch Andy Griffith, you know, and maybe some Beverly Hillbillies reruns. I mean, it was a great day.
Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon.
Whatever.
Or whatever. I mean, so yeah, the Lady Ravens went up to Grandview and came away with an exciting win, right? Scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game, 58-56. You look at the third and fourth quarter, they held in the second half, they held Grandview to 19 points. Benedictine scored 19 in the third, 17 in the fourth, and came away with an exciting win. They had a steal at the end of the ball game, hit a layup as time expired, and come away with a 58-56 win in that ball game. For the Lady Ravens, they were paced in scoring by a bench player in Lauren Dubert. She knocked in 15 points for the Lady Ravens, shooting 5 of 8. Riley Rottinghouse gets in double figures with her 10 points. And so for the Lady Ravens, they improved to 8-4. And I feel like they're starting to get all the pieces in the right direction. I mean, you go back to Saturday when they got behind against Culver Stockton, fought back at the end, were able to get that thing into overtime, and then come away with a win. Here, they get behind again early, but don't give up and continue to fight their way through and come away with a nice win against Grandview.
Yeah, and this conference is getting tougher because now Grandview's taken a loss. They were undefeated in the conference and on the season until that game. And now, if you look at the conference standing, Clark is the only undefeated team at 5-0 and 8-0. Grandview 5-1, 8-1. Missouri Valley 5-1, 7-2. And Benedictine, right on the heels of all of them, at 4-2. So Lady Ravens have gotten a good, strong start. Now, here's a way to get a good season, to have a good season. You got to start strong, okay?
Yeah, you kind of want to get out ahead early versus trying to fight yourself back up the hill at the end of the season. How many times do we talk about that? Pushing that rock up the hill is difficult. It's kind of nice to be able to get out on top. And then if you have a bad week, you're still okay.
And you got to remember, this is not high school basketball where everybody gets into the tournament. And if you get better at the end of the year, you know, you got a fighting chance. These teams are set up depending on how many wins you got. If you don't get to 20, okay, I'm just telling you, if you haven't got 20 at the end of the year, you're staying home.
Yeah, exactly. And for the Lady Ravens, that was a big win. That gets them up to what, like 8 wins, I think is what we decided. So it's a decent place to be. Games that went on around the conference last night. Culver Stockton ladies beat Graceland 59-57. How about Park knocking off Missouri Valley 73-62? It was Central Methodist sneaking by Mid-America 71-69. Baker over Peru 85-75. So the games that are going to happen Saturday in the conference are going to be 3 noon games. Clark is going to be at Park, Penn at Baker, And you're going to have Mount Mercy at Mid-America. The 2 o'clock games on the ladies' side will be Valley in Peru, Central Methodist at Graceland, and then Grandview travels over to the Joe Charles 2.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Guys basketball comes to the forefront when we return on Sports Look right after this. Shifting our focus here on Sports Look to the Benedictine men's basketball team, Gus. They also made that trip up to Des Moines. And tell you what, the Raven guys, they show me some good things during the course of the year, you know?
Yeah, for the Ravens, they were able to hold steady in the first half against Grandview, taking that thing into the break 29-29, but then get outscored by 4 in the second half and lost 73-69. Maybe just a little understaffed when they went up to Grandview, but you start looking at things, and we talked about this Saturday in that Culver-Stockton matchup, that shooters are going to go through slumps where they might go 0-for-7, and then the next night they're going to go out there and shoot something like 7-of-12, and well, that's exactly what Braden Belt did, right? He went 7-of-12 from the floor, 4-of-7 from behind the arc, and he led the Ravens in scoring with 20 points. Bryson LaRue was able to add 50% shooting on a 14-point night. But how about Hagen Hildendorf coming off the bench with his 16 points? He's a guy who is just starting to get back into the hang of things. He's been out with a little bit of a hand injury, and so it's good to see him. But right now for this Ravens team, they ended up playing 6 guys off the bench, only getting 2 of them in the scoring column. I think that's where, you know, if you were to talk to Coach Moody, he's going to tell you that, you know, we've got to get some more points out of our bench. I get it, you had 19, but if you take Hagen out of there, the only guy who scored was, you know, Jack, so he had a 3. But Benedictine, you know, coming up a little short, put up 26 three-pointers the other night. So, again, settling for a lot of jump shots, but 10 of 11 from the free throw line. So, again, taking care of the things that you can handle, and that's free throws.
Yeah, and again, yeah, 10 of 11, 91% from the free throw line is a pretty good number. You got to hit more than 7 of 26 from outside, and you got to hit more than 26 of 55, you know, from the floor, because you got Hagen who's shooting over half because he's 6'8" and he's shooting from 7 feet away. And
but we've seen plenty of shooters over the years who shoot those shots and aren't hitting over half of them. So,
and if you're going to take 26 three-point shots, is there a barometer? Is there a line of demarcation? Up to this many is not a lot of three-point shots, and once you get over a number, you shot quite a few. I mean, I would think 26 is in the realm of, that's quite a few threes.
Yeah, I think that's a great question for Coach Moody to ask him, you know, like what do you constitute? And I know him as a player and him as a coach are two different people, right? Because Coach Moody as a player would have said, I don't know,
50?
45, yeah, is a decent night for threes. But for me, I don't know. I feel like 12.5 is probably right there. So, again, you pull that out, that's 24 threes a game, and then we're just a little over that. So, I mean, but I think that's a really interesting question for Coach on, you know, where do you draw that line? But for me, it's somewhere around that 12.5, so 24.
And again, I also like when he's particularly talking to Coach Moody, and he and I will broach this because he's a numbers kind of a guy.
Because you talk to him every game.
Yes, and we look forward to talking to him after every game because it's always insightful. And it's like, you know, he will tell you, I would think, going into a game, I want to see a shoot. And he will tell you, I think, I don't know if he would tell you, but he could tell you, I want to see a shoot 25 threes. I want to see us shoot, you know, 30 shots from this range. I want to see us come to the free throw line 15 times. I want to see us turn it over 7 or fewer. I want to see us get 26 rebounds or whatever those numbers are.
Yeah, because Coach Moody is a super smart guy, right? Very analytical when it comes to the game. Like, I mean, prior to the game, you could walk up to him, pick any guy warming up out on the floor and say, tell me about this guy. And I mean, just off the top, whether it's him or Coach Peer, either of those guys are quickly going to tell you, all right, he's a 57% shooter, likes to go left, he tends to, on the third dribble, pull up and shoot. I mean, like, just those little things and details, it's just pretty impressive that guys are able to pull those things right off the top. So, yeah, I think for Coach Moody, he would be able to tell you all those things prior to a game, whether, you know, he's going to come out and really tell you. But, again, going into each game, he knows where he wants to see his team be. And so that's why I think that as the game progresses, you can kind of judge if you're where you like to be.
Yeah. He's going to drive a kick out, cannot use the left hand, you know, won't hit two-thirds of his free throws. But if he's on the left side of the rim, he will out-rebound you.
Exactly. So, games that went on around the conference earlier this week. Mount Mercy knocked off Columbia on Tuesday night, 98-72. Talked about Grandview outlasting Benedictine, 73-69. Games that happened last night in Parkville. It was the Pirates knocking off Missouri Valley, 81-58. Central Methodist went to Mid-America and won 90-86. I think I probably expected maybe a little more scoring than 90-86. I figured it would be closer to 100-86, but nonetheless, Graceland beats Culver Stockton and Canton 83-70. Baker over Peru State 81-73. So, full slate of games going on around the conference on Saturday afternoon, but we kind of covered that with the ladies. So, real quick, jump to the standings in the conference.
Yeah, and Graceland is undefeated. Who saw that coming? Not me.
Yeah, I think that maybe they're the surprise. If I were to tell you prior to the season that the first week of December, your top three would be Graceland, Baker, Central Methodist, and in that order, you would have said I was.
You're getting,
losing it. I mean, and just making things up, throwing spaghetti at the wall. But
now,
it's
but
true.
On the other side of that, if you would have told me that William Penn is going to be 2-4, one position out of the bottom of the conference, I would know you were crazy.
Yeah, if you would have told me the bottom four teams include Valley, Penn, and Culver Stockton, I probably wouldn't have believed you because over the years, those three teams have been super athletic.
So, yeah, the conference is topsy-turvy right now. And
so, if the conference tournament starts today, Penn is out.
Penn's out. So, Valley, Penn, Clark, Culver are all out if it starts today.
Yep, and what, Benedictine will go to Graceland.
Yes.
Mid-America settling in at the 4 spot. They're 4-3. Peru State starting out pretty okay. They are 3-3 overall, but 3-3 in the conference, 7-3 overall. Park is at 500. You got Mount Mercy and Grandview. So, again, I feel like it's going to be a wild season. I can also tell you nobody's going undefeated in this conference because I just don't trust Graceland to finish this thing out. But I do think right now they're playing good basketball.
Not happening. We're going to see the Ravens next Wednesday. Again, they've got Saturday off, finals week. We'll be with them in Marshall, Missouri, Benedictine, Missouri Valley next Wednesday. We'll be back. Sports Look rolling along here on a Thursday. Augusta, Kansas City Chiefs, kind of made a lot of their fans sad with their last outing. A lot of them are looking at that game and going, what is wrong with the team? What is wrong with the offense? Are they not as good as they were? And I would say, there's probably a little wrong with the team. There's certainly something wrong with the offense. And no, they're not as good as they were.
Yeah, I think you're probably on point with all of that. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are still a really good football team, and you listen to some of the national talking heads right now. What is it? Going into this weekend's game, there is a crazy number of quarterbacks that were not the opening day starting quarterbacks, right? There are so many quarterbacks that are down, and with Trevor Lawrence going down on, Monday night? I think a lot of people figure that Kansas City can get back to that one seed and that Kansas City might actually at this point be the favorite to get back to the championship game. But I'm going to tell you, as a Chiefs fan, you look at it and you're like, it's different. It's not the same team that you're excited watching every week. It's more of a, I hope they win, but it's not going to probably be the prettiest thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the quarterbacks that you have injured, you know, are more notable and more serious than others, but there are a bunch of guys who've had season-ending injuries started all the way back with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and since then, you just had one after another who have gone out, and you know, Joe Burrow is going to be a big name because Joe is going to be done for the year. Kirk Cousins out, Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, I mean, Deshaun Watson. We're not talking like regular guys. We're talking premier guys here.
Yeah, I mean, you are. You're talking, you know, some of the top quarterbacks right now that are out. You know, Kyler Murray has found his way back onto the field. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, as you mentioned, goes down. So, yeah, I mean, it's more of a, you turn on the game and you're like, okay, I don't remember this quarterback in college. Where did he play? I'm going to tell you, some of these guys are just like off the wall guys. Like the kid who played for the Bears a couple weeks ago, who was a, Division II product last season. So, again, lots of new quarterbacks. But Sunday, going to be two of, you know, what 3 years ago you would have said were the two quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. And two of the past 3 years ago, you said the two best teams and maybe in all the NFL, not just the AFC, but in all of the NFL.
Yeah, and the Bills have kind of fallen off a little bit, but right now they're that dangerous team, right? They've got their backs against the wall, one more loss, and they're just probably done for the season. And if they're done for the season, all of a sudden people are saying, man, maybe you have to blow it up in Buffalo and try to put new pieces around Josh Allen, and I think that's probably where they're at. So, again, they're going to be fighting to keep this team together and be able to make another playoff run. But Kansas City, they're going to have to score some points against this Buffalo team.
Yeah, but what people have got to start realizing is, you know, the football season, it seems like it just started, but really, in fact, there are only 5 games left.
Yeah.
Okay. You're dozen in, 5 to go in the 17-game schedule. Buffalo is 6-6, okay? So, not doing too good. They're way behind Miami, who's 9-3. They're going to win that division.
Yep. So, and the Bills have, a tough schedule, right? They've got the Chiefs this week, and right next week, I think they go to the Cowboys. So, again, they have an uphill battle. I believe maybe they've got the Dolphins and the...
They've got the Titans, then the Jets, then the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Then the Ravens, and end up with the Bills.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they've got a rough end of that season. Yeah, so for the Bills, again, they're going to be a tough team on Sunday afternoon. Kansas City, a 1.5-point favorite, over under at 48.5. So they're going to figure maybe these two teams can get into the end zone 3 or 4 times. So,
but if you're ready for your Thursday night football fix, I don't know even what to suggest, because probably that Thursday night Patriots-Steelers game is not going to satisfy you too much. Patriots coming in at 2-10. Is Bill Belichick really in trouble? I mean, do you think a guy who's won all of those Super Bowls, is he actually in trouble like you hear?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they're just trying to figure out, maybe go in a different direction. There was a poll yesterday, day before, of, you know, NFL fans, if Bill Belichick were to become available for your team and your team had a coaching vacancy, would you want him? 73-77% of the voting people said no, which is so crazy because, again, just a few years ago, everybody would have wanted Bill Belichick. I think he's still good. I think the problem becomes he's a lot like Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, where he's not only the coach, but he's also the GM, and it's maybe just too much on his plate, where I think that he can still do just X's and O's.
Well, and you've got to understand, Pittsburgh's still on the playoff hunt. They're 7-5.
Yeah, they're playing well enough.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, the bad news for New England, I mean, one of your favorite players is questionable, Juju.
Yeah, Juju's probably, if he were smart, he just sits out the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody would be good with that. Unfortunately,
if he's out there, he's not going to catch a pass because they can't get it to him physically.
For the Steelers, though, you got Kenny Pickett out, and that hurts.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett's going to be out with that injury, but they're going to start the quarterback who was picked ahead of Patrick Mahomes in the draft, that's going to be Mitchell Trubisky. And here's the deal. I think Trubisky's probably good enough to win a game. This game won't take much to win, so again, I do think the Steelers win, and wow, 30.5 is hardly any points.
Yeah, it's not very many. So anyway, so you got Bills Chiefs Sunday now, or Patriots Steelers tonight, Bills Chiefs Sunday at 3:25. Sunday at noon, you got Colts and Bengals.
Yeah, you talk about two teams fighting maybe for that playoff spot. The Colts all of a sudden maybe look a little more alive, especially with the Jags losing their quarterback for who knows how long right now.
Jags and Browns Sunday at noon also. Browns are now a favorite in that game.
Yeah, because now you're going to mark out two backup quarterbacks playing in that ball game. So the Jags-Browns, Cleveland now a three-point favorite, but the over-under has dropped like a rock all the way down to 30.5 points. I think the game that maybe I'm looking at Sunday, if you're not talking about Sunday Night Football, it's going to be that Rams at Ravens game. Baltimore is a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 40.5, but the Rams are playing better football at the moment. And for the Ravens, they are finding ways to win without Mark Andrews. But as the season gets towards the end, it's important for them to see how Lamar Jackson, you know, deals with the pressure down the stretch. Because, again, he's been a not very good playoff quarterback. He's typically not healthy by this time of the year. So, again, it's just kind of uncharted water right now for Baltimore. And I think that game has a lot of interest for me.
Yeah, I tell you what, Sunday night game's got interest for a lot of people, okay? You may not love either one of them, but the Eagles at the Cowboys. Why do the Cowboys seem like they're on AT&T every Sunday? It feels like they're never gone.
I mean, it feels like they have a home game.
7:20 on Sunday night. Dallas is a favorite over the Eagles, who did lose a game last week, but the Eagles are 10-2. Still have the best record of football and are still in front of Dallas in the NFC East.
Yeah, so the Eagles got blown out by the 49ers, right?
Yeah,
Debo Samuels had a huge game the other day. I think he was the NFC player of the week on the offense. But for the Eagles, those games are a little easier to scrub when you get blasted. You move on, and now you get a division rival at their place and a chance to really just lock down the division. So I think this should be a great game. I think the Eagles come out and look like a completely different team than they did last Sunday, and it'll be interesting to see how Dak plays. Again, he right now is maybe one of the favorites for NFL MVP.
Could be, easily be, and the Cowboys are playing well. Let's be honest. They've won, what, 4 in a row now coming into the ballgame here, and they've outscored their opponents by more than any other team in the NFC, 168-point differential to the positive.
Yeah, and a lot of that is the positive points are only against really bad teams, right?
Okay.
When you flip it and you start looking at teams that are 500 or better, they're not very good. And so, again, right now people are packaging the Cowboys and the Dolphins as being guys that can beat up on really bad teams, which, again, you need to do. You need to be able to beat those bad teams. But when they're playing good teams, they struggle a little more. So, again, I think this is a huge game for the Cowboys and their coaching staff to be able to show that when playing good teams, that you can beat those teams.
Yeah, and again, the Cowboys, AT&T Stadium, are 6-0 this year. So they're pretty good.
Monday night, you're going to get a double dip.
I love the double dip on a Monday.
You probably need a double dip because neither one of these is great, but you're going to have...
I say that, but the Packers were good enough last week.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the Packers probably thumped the Giants, but DeVito's playing okay, I guess. And, yeah, Titans and Dolphins could get ugly real fast.
Yeah, the Dolphins are so good. I mean, they're just extremely good at 9-3, and you got the Titans at the bottom of the South at 4-8 and going the wrong way, so... Yeah, they're 0-4 on the road, and it's not going to be easy for them. Hey, a couple other things. You got basketball, Mizzou at Kansas. Back to the old days, right? Huh?
Yeah, and what? I think Thomas Robinson's jersey is going to get retired.
Is that zero?
Yep.
I'm proud of myself.
As Mizzou will be at number 2 Kansas, and so the funny part about them, and they didn't release that until earlier this week, that Thomas Robinson's number was going to get retired. The last game where Missouri was in the conference and Thomas Robinson had the huge block at the end of the ball game, might have been a foul. It was never called, so I don't think it was a foul. Blocked that shot, and Kansas went on to beat Mizzou in that ball game. Well, now they're going to retire his number on Saturday. Kansas, the number 2 team in the country, Missouri, looking to get into the rankings. And then the biggest controversy there is in the sporting world, did the College Football Playoff Commission get it right?
You want me to tell you?
I want your opinion.
Yes, and here's the reason I say that. And I feel bad for Florida State. Okay, I mean, I get it. You did what you're supposed to do. You go undefeated. You did all of the stuff, all you can do. And yet it's not good enough because I still think the best 4 teams in college football made the postseason. I think if you lined up Alabama and Florida State, played 5 times, Alabama wins at least 4 and probably 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just think that they are not one of the top 4 teams in the country. Now, when they expand this, obviously they're first in, but sadly for them, they were first out.
So bring it a little closer to home. What you're saying is Florida State went undefeated in the KCAC.
Yeah. Now, Florida State played horrible conference and played no good teams all year.
They did what they could. I mean, and I agree, but...
And it's out of their hands. I get that. It's not that they could have done anything else.
And they're going to... They said all the right things. I mean, they did. They beat the two SEC teams that were on their schedule. They beat Florida. They beat LSU, but... Florida and LSU turned out to not be great programs.
At the time
when
that happened, you thought, wow, they were pretty good.
Yeah, because I think at the time, LSU was like number five in the country to start the season, but then we found out that they weren't very good. I think at the end of the year, I wasn't thrilled with it because I don't think it's right, but I get it. And when it's all said and done, we can dive a little further into it. Do you see any way around us not getting Texas and Alabama for a national title?
No. So, got to be.
Anyway.
Now, one last question. I see constantly, every day, I am bombarded with, Joey Jones has entered the portal and is leaving. And I'm talking about kids who played and kids who played for some good teams. I'm seeing kids from Oklahoma. I'm seeing a ton of kids from K-State, I mean, who are good players on good programs, getting good minutes. My question for you is, where do they think they're going that's better than where they're at today? Yeah. I mean, really? I mean, I understand. We talk about it all the time. Oh, you want to fire your coach? That's fine. But who are you going to hire? These kids, well, I want to go to a different team. Well, that's fine. But where are you going to go better than where you're at?
Yeah, because I think, you know, and coaches will tell you this all the time, right? Like, so-and-so says, man, well, but Sam Smith is graduating, so I'm going to go there. Yeah, well, little Joey, who was behind Sam Smith for 3 years, knows the program inside and out.
And
he's a really good athlete, too.
Probably better than you.
So I think the transfer portal is crazy. Everybody's jumping into it right now, and you're right. When it comes to the transfer portal, this is the most names I've heard come out of Manhattan in a long time. There's something funky happening out there. They lost Colin Klein to Texas A&M, which makes sense.
That's a huge loss, though.
Yeah,
he was a great coach and great offensive mind.
But K-State wasn't going to be able to put up the kind of money that Texas A&M is. I mean, just because there are not many programs in the country that can, you know, put up that kind of money. So I was a little surprised to see him leave just because it was his alma mater. But, yeah, we are starting to see a handful of names go out of Manhattan right now.
Hey, we're going to have some great hoops coming up here on K-Radio tomorrow night. It'll be Donovan West at Atchison County. Tuesday, Ottawa at the Atchison Phoenix. And Wednesday, back to Raven basketball as they're back after the finals break. Benedictine at Missouri Valley, 5:30, 7:30. Got to thank fantastic sponsors like Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Till we greet you next time for Gus Kautz. Tom Kautz, so long, everybody.